'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around, and nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Your podcast, your mom's gonna not last. Yeah. So last episode, we talked about the World Baseball Classic. We left some things out. Tom,
oh, you classy now.
You want to tell me some of the first names on the what team is this?
This is Puerto Rico.
Tom was crunching some numbers in our data science center, and he noticed this theme.
One second.
It seems to be that if you name your kid a certain couple names, they'll make the Puerto Rican baseball team.
Yeah, so let's go from the top. Puerto Rico has Jose Berrios.
You could just say their first names if that's the common part.
Okay. Jose, Joe, Jose, Jose, Joe, Jorge, JC, which stands for Joe. First part is Joe. Joel, Javier.
Oh, my God.
So nine out of the
Hose B.
Nine out of the 30 have literally the same name. How do you think they Hose interact
C.
with each other?
They go, oh.
And actually, this gets even better. On the coaching staff, we have Joe, Juan, Jose, Jose, Jose.
You know what's, who was the stand-up? This funny. It was, he goes, all right, this is my impression of a guy named, telling his roommate named Juan that their team that they root for, who sucks, finally won a game. Hey, Juan! Juan! We won one, Juan! Juan, we finally won one!
Yes.
Juan, we won one! I think that's actually the guy who has this new sitcom that Judd Apatow writes. He was a warm-up comic for The Daily Show. Anyway, all right. So this is a Cat Figure Podcast, episode 40. You know any number 40s, Tom?
I do.
You did show prep? My man.
All right. So the player who wore it the most number of years
the baseball players. Because it's a baseball show.
Rick Honeycutt, who's currently the pitching coach of the Dodgers. But number two on that list is the one and only Big Bart. Bartolo Colon.
Big, yeah.
17 years he's worn the number 40.
Speaking of Big Bart Colon, you sent me a photo of a newspaper that said that had the funniest title, I guess, after Bartolo Colon did very poorly in a start. It said, Colon gets pounded, but it read as his name is spelled colon, so yeah. It said, colon gets pounded.
Colon absorbs another pounding. Which I thought was almost as good as A-Rod goes deep, Wong hurt. Wang. Well, it was actually Qingming Wang.
So it's yeah, spelled
A-Rod goes deep, Wang hurt.
That's good. So we're gonna talk about rule changes and some Mets crap and blah 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 boopity boo. But just besides the Ho theme, Jose Ho, the Joe theme.
Joel.
Well wait. So obviously that tells you gotta name your kid Jose and they'll be good at baseball, right? Or Joe?
Yeah.
Do you think that has to be the only conclusion? I'm not mixing correlation and causation.
I think so.
All right, so good. You heard it here first, Puerto Ricans. Puerto Rico, Jose! All right, the other thing, point about the World Baseball Classic I wanted to get to is that I was looking at the team makeups, and it was like teams to watch, in prep for our last episode, and it had the Netherlands, and then it started listing all these black guys or, like, not white guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what the hell? Like, I guess there's, dark-skinned people, like, they're of African descent living in the Netherlands. And then I started looking up, like, Kenley Jansen, Andrelton Simmons, Xander Bogaerts, I'm forgetting some others, but all players that do not look like my image in my head of somebody from the Netherlands. Somebody from the Netherlands is named Sven, and they go to the box office where I work, and I'm like, here are your tickets, see you later, and they go, oh, that's great, and they're
nice.
White with blonde hair, thank you. So these guys are all from the islands, so imperialism thank God for us white guys that European imperialism is still alive and well today when people from the islands like Bermuda and Curaçao or whatever are still correct, whatever, you know, I don't, you know, Curaçao, big cock, you know, you, whatever. Luckily for us white guys, they're still controlled by the European nations, so we can still have more athletic people play on behalf of us. Yes. That's very racist what I just said, but we did it.
Well, it's the same thing you see
because the Netherlands owns all those islands
in the World Cup. Yeah, the Netherlands still technically rules over Curaçao and then Aruba as well.
It's just those two?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean that's where all the two that I happened to click on were from.
Correct.
That's crazy. That's so fascinating, though, that they have that many good players from those two islands.
DD.
But
they have a good infield.
But then why doesn't I guess Puerto Rico is like in a different class, but I mean, it's not technically in the kingdom of the U.S., but it is sort of, right?
Well, they just basically want us to.
I guess we do them a favor.
Pick up all of their bankruptcy debt, but then not tell them what to do.
I remember in summer.
Don't you tell me what to do.
In summer camp when I was like 15, there was this girl from Puerto Rico who was cute, actually. But I remember talking to her, and I didn't know anything. I was just like, so you guys have like stores there, like regular stores? Like, do you have to like go to, like, I don't know. I pictured like Africa. Like, I don't know what I pictured. I was just a total American. So anyway, so this is Cap Figure Podcast, right? As we talked about the episode before last, the format, we don't know what we're gonna do. We've kind of given up on our MLB look at where we look at teams, and now we are just figuring out what works best for us episode by episode. We're living in the moment, right?
Correct.
And so we want to just give you the next best episode, right? One game at a time. We're down three games to none in the series. And we can't win four games in one day. We just got to do it one game at a time and give you the best game we could give you. Right, Tom?
Amen.
All right. So, real quick, before we get to the rule changes, the Mets suck already a little bit. It's already a flashback as a Mets fan to the story of the last two seasons where maybe we should trade for third baseman, and we haven't addressed it except sort of Jose Reyes, but
he's still on the Mets.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
You just scared me. Like, he's definitely still on the Mets.
I think he is, yeah.
He definitely is. He played well down the stretch last year, but David Wright is hurt. Again, obviously, he's done, right? His career is probably over.
I think so. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to end up coming back at a certain point, but he's never – I cannot – I refuse to believe that he's ever going to be an all-star third baseman again.
It stinks. I mean, they were down to him or Jose Reyes years ago. It's ironic that Jose is back on the team, and the Mets were like, okay, everyone, we're cheap as hell. We're only going to pay one of these guys, and they paid David Wright and decided to make him like the face of the franchise. And everyone agreed you had to do it. They paid all-star third baseman who's a fan favorite, only $175 million, but it hasn't worked out given his injuries. He's only 33.
Yeah.
And this has been the story the last 3 years. It's so sad as somebody, you know, who loves him and his Michael Jackson sounding voice. He's like, well, I just want to get back on the field. And also Lucas Duda's out. So we've already, you know, sort of screwed at corner infield before the season's even started.
Right.
Are you nervous?
I'm interested to see what's going to happen because I think we may have mentioned this a couple episodes ago, but I think Conforto is going to end up playing first base.
Weimer. I mean, thought you were going to say Wheelmer.
Wheelmer? No, I guess that's just my gut instinct is either Conforto or Jay Bruce is going to end up at first base.
Conforto would be perfect if he could do it because he's a lefty, and then you could play Juan Lagares in center, and then you don't have to make Yoenis play a subpar center field. He could play left field, which he's much better at, and Jay Bruce could play a horrible right field for the rest of the year.
Am I concerned? I am concerned because, I mean, the Mets, obviously they have, if they're healthy, the best pitching staff in the league. Like, they're 7 or 8 deep with even like Lugo, Gesellman.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They would have been number 3 on the Yankees last year. But, I mean, and this has been the case for the last couple of years, their lineup is atrocious. outside of Cespedes, and, you know, I think Granderson is going to continue to regress. Bruce will probably be better than he was on the Mets last year, but it's just a very weak lineup with a lot of holes in it. And with that, I don't are they necessarily even a good defensive team?
No, right? They kind of decided to punt defense, like with people like Esdrubal Cabrera, who like is a very good hitter for a shortstop, but he's not great defensively. No, they consciously made a decision to strategically just sort of punt defense and just to get what they can offensively.
Right, and yeah, it's
like
just...
Jay Bruce is the epitome of that. But if he's not giving offensively, it's double bad.
Sure. Yeah, I would just say they're bottom five in terms of position players' value overall, whether it's, you know, defense, offense, combined, just like position player war, they're bottom five. And I don't know what they're going to do to address that. But
it's so hamstringing.
Because if you think about it, even if everybody's healthy in the rotation – and they're able to get five guys that do 30 starts, a lot of those starts, I can imagine they probably will still lose a lot of close games. Like, they're a very, I think it's just a team that's very susceptible to, like, big swings in variance. Because I think they can lose a lot of games where they only give up two runs pitching.
Right, right. And Matt Harvey, notoriously, like, his first 2 years, even still, would have, like, these amazing games where and then he'd lose, you know, 1-0. But I think the team unfortunately may look like it did last year, where not as good as the World Series year, but good enough pitching. And then Yoenis Cespedes, I mean, we're putting so much on him. He carried the team so clutch. You know, I don't think he can possibly, even if he were to get the same number of hits and homers and RBIs, I don't know if. I was in the middle of an amazing point, and my stupid ancient computer decided to cut me off. I guess they didn't like my point. My computer's a Yoenis Cespedes fan. The point I was making was that even if he were to get the same amount of hits, that I don't think it could possibly be as clutch as he was last year. And so at first glance, I want to say the Mets will end up the same that they did last year, where like their pitching is good enough to carrying them and they get enough out of Yoenis, except it'll look like less from Yoenis and more from pitching because Harvey's back. They all have sick mustaches. You know, we have way too many pitchers. It's awesome. So that's it with the Mets. Only you got anything else?
No, I mean... It's just been the same story the past 3 years. You know?
This is why we like baseball, though, because in football, there is no storyline. No team stays the same for like 3 years in general because there's too many moving parts. And this is like, I like this about baseball, even though it's frustrating now, is that like things either can stay the same for a very long time because careers are longer. And then on the flip side, you could do like the Yankees and still do a football move where you rebuild in 1 year, basically. Now the Yankees are like second ranked farm system out of nowhere. I hate you guys. I'm very jealous. So
I also, just to make a point, I like about baseball, it seems like organizationally there are certain positions where you just, like the Yankees with catchers, right? They've produced now, like, say, five starting catchers in the past couple of years. And I think it's the same thing with the Mets. I mean, even you think Michael Fulmer won AL Rookie of the Year last year. So that's just interesting to me. I mean, the Mets are...
It's because Frank Viola, bro.
They're producing, like, the most valuable asset at a ridiculous rate.
Right. And so if that even maintains a little bit at worst, you know, the drop. But yeah, that's cool. There's no other sport like that where maybe they say, oh, you're going to develop a quarterback in football, but not like this.
That was like the example I was going to think of where like New England has sort of the luxury to do that a little bit, but it's nowhere near to the same extent.
Right, right. There's not 50 employees around the country working for the New England Patriots quarterbacks, right? It's like all bait for two guys.
Yep, and there's not five levels of farm systems.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's not like a six-year development
right, right.
curve. So
obviously that's, you know, the point up for baseball. Tom Brady has hair plugs, I think. But anyway, you know, when I was obsessed, I thought I was losing my hair. I'm not, by the way, and I'm almost 30, but I was like 19. And then, yeah, update on everyone, Ryan, my baldness. I would Google, like, you know, balding celebrities or something, and Tom Brady, there's something going on there. But anyway, he's cute. He's good. He's a cleft chin. Let's talk about some rule changes there, bro, that we didn't talk about. Because the commissioner thinks that people aren't as smart as you and I, Tom. He's saying that the fans are re-rees and that they won't watch something that has a slow pace of play. And so they pass a rule that intentional walks are you just signal that you're going to do an intentional walk, and then the pitcher doesn't have to throw any pitches. So you give your take, Tom, and then we have a guest. We have Mike Dwayne. Francesa caller named Dwayne Fugazi. So go, but say what your thoughts, Tom.
I think it's a weird change, right? Because I understand the argument that only once out of, say, you know, 400 intentional walks, something weird happens. But the point of doing this is to cut down on the time of the game. But this doesn't cut down on that much time because there's less than one intentional walk per game on average. And it's like, what are you cutting out, say, 30 seconds?
Well, but it's a step that everyone can agree on, right?
Right. I just think I thought it was the wrong step. I think that they
But what's the harm?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't see necessarily a harm.
So then it's, well, that's my line of thinking. If there's no harm you can point to, then it's good. Then it's added, even if it's contributing 0.1%.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know?
Yeah, it's fine.
Like, it is a minor, there's bigger fish to fry, but the Players Association, and I understand why, are being, you know, putting up a fight every step of the way, it seems like, for any rule change, as they should and as is their prerogative. But I guess if this is something that you can agree on and get a little bit closer there,
right.
If there's no clear, like, counter-argument, there are a bunch of implications that Dwayne Fugazi will discuss with you in a sec, but, like, I guess you just do it if it will help that much.
Yeah, you're right. That makes sense.
So
hopefully the other changes that they're looking at will kick in the next couple of years. Specifically, they absolutely need to cut down on the amount of times that catchers can walk out to the mound. Like, they need to cut that down to at the most once per inning. Because I remember watching games last year where it happened in the playoffs too. The pitcher and the catcher could not get the signals right, so the catcher, after almost every single pitch, would walk out to the mound. They put the mitt over their face, and they bullshit back and forth for like 20 seconds until the umpire comes out, and then they go throw that pitch. Like, that is really slowing the game down, and there is no upside to that. Just get the signals right.
Right. Well, and here's Dwayne. I'm going to step aside and let Dwayne talk, but you know, that is the epitome of, like, you need deadlines. All right, Dwayne, the mic's yours for a minute. Hey, what's up there, Tom?
Hey, Dwayne, thank you for thanks for joining. So why don't you give us your take on the change from throwing four intentional walk pitches to what it is now, where you just get signaled to first base.
All right, so here's my take, and I hear you guys, and thanks, Ryan, for letting me come to the show today. You know, I'm a big fan of the show. I listened here or there. I think it's utterly ridiculous that, you know, like, when I played Little League, you are those 90 feet or 45, I don't even actually know anymore, I forget, from home to first base, you gotta earn, right? You gotta earn like a man. You don't just have your manager give you a participation trophy and point to the umpire and say, the opposing manager just points and says, yeah, let him on first. You had to earn that, right? And the pitcher, if they were afraid of you as a hitter, right? You stand up there and they gotta make some lob pitches that John Lester guys like can't make. And now I'm just losing my track of thought. But you earned those 800 feet. You know, you didn't just get it from the opposing manager.
So Dwayne, this change will make the game less enjoyable for you to watch, you're saying?
You're taking the human element out of it, man. I mean, it's just ridiculous. What are we going to have one day just like a bunch of nerds up in the booth, like the offensive coordinators on iPads typing in formulas, and then the robots will do that play?
No, I agree with you. iPads are generally pretty useless, and I don't like them.
Useless?
Myself.
They're a threat.
They're a threat, yes.
My wife
are.
Found my iPad the other day and knew somehow what I was looking at the, you know, other girls.
Oh, man. Okay, so, Dwayne, who do you think's going to win the World Series this year?
Oh, I got to go with my Yankees, bro. I got, you know, I know I'm from I know I'm from Texas, but I got to go from Texas. I know I got to go with my Yankees. I've been a Yankee fan since I was a kid, a front runner, and
since 1996.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1996, and I just think you know, we really got the goods. Girardi is you know, he looks like a bear, and that's it. But this intentional walk, this fruity rinky-dink, Hillary Clinton supporting Rob Manfield, whatever his name is, he needs to get it through his head that you're taking the baseball out of baseball, right? So why don't you just have these guys just walk around, you know, why don't you have a carriage carry them to first? How about you just have them teleport there with some new robots?
Okay.
Thank you.
We will send that out, and let's see if the commissioner responds. All right, Ryan, thank you for coming back on air.
No, hold on. Ryan, before I let you... Okay, all right, Dwayne. Before I let you have your mic back, I just want to let you know that you guys changed my life. All right, thanks, Dwayne.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. That's...
Dwayne Fugazi.
Interesting first call. I think I can see why... The a lot public. Of other shows don't like doing that.
What, having callers?
Yeah.
Because they're retards.
Well,
what'd
come on.
Me?
Come on. Dwayne is a Cowboys and Yankees fan. He can't be a
like
retard.
LeBron James. Remember LeBron James?
Come on. Dwayne's grandma once flew over Dallas. So, of course, he's a Cowboys fan.
Dude, I hate it. That was my poll on Twitter. It was like, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan because, A, my aunt lived there for 5 minutes. B, Ben rate me in the club, or C, I've been that way since I'm a kid. Those are the three front-runner excuses.
Yes.
But seriously, so about the rule change, like, and, you know, I don't think we'll ever have a caller again. That didn't work. But thanks for trying with me, Tom, and thank you, Dwayne. Like, it is something, right? And I'm glad that at least the commissioner... I it's scary. I do see how people like Dwayne could get scared that it's like a slippery slope to changing the nature of whatever you like about baseball. And then you could see like, okay, it's this businessman who is just simply trying to maximize profits by putting the most entertaining TV on TV. And you could say at any cost of whatever the game changes need to be made, right? And I guess that's where the Players Association like fighting back comes in, because they could be viewing it as just greedy owners and whoever just saying, okay, we'll do anything to this game if it'll get us more money, which is their right to do.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think anything he's proposed yet is outrageous enough that it would change the game that much that you're anywhere close to doing that. And slippery slopes are stupid anyway, arguments.
The one thing that it isn't going to impact the major leagues, I believe, at any point, but in low A ball, what they're doing in extra innings is they're starting off, I think it's the 11th inning, maybe it's even the 10th, but they put a runner on second base.
Oh, that's interesting.
At the start of the inning.
That's really interesting.
And I think that could help with the development of younger players, but I just wouldn't want to see that in the major leagues. I know that they're saying sometimes these 17 and 18 inning games really, they do deplete rosters because you have a lot of guys pitching, but I find those games to be honestly very enjoyable.
Yeah, and then it's up to you. If you're depleting your roster, tank. Just leave in your worst pitcher, or you know what I mean? Just lose the game then if it's going to hurt you.
Absolutely, and if you're a fan and you don't like the game or whatever, and then just stop watching.
Right,
you know?
Right. I absolutely agree. Here's the other implications. One is I read about, and they made a good point, like somebody like John Lester, who can't throw intentional walks, like maybe he'll use it now. Mm. Also, I actually think it'll increase the length of game this year at least, where the manager is figuring out the signal. I don't know, you know, or maybe they debate it.
Oh.
Who knows? I don't know. I mean,
what do you think the signal should be?
It should be like... The listeners can't see us, but I'm grabbing my crotch and wiggling it.
Okay, that's a good one.
Or you like tap your nose and your ear, you know. But I wonder if there'll be, maybe this will result in more like intentional, unintentional walks where they try to pitch around guys where.
Sure, yeah.
But I guess no, because the straight up intentional walk, they had no hope that the guy was going to swing at any of them. They're pretty blatant. So I don't see really any real downside to this, like I said originally.
Well, what I have a question about is, let's say they get into a, I think you're going to see a lot more like you were saying, where they intentionally try to pitch around players. So they'll, if they're going to intentionally walk someone, they'll just have the catcher set up like outside to see if they can get him to bite on like a specific pitch. Mm-hmm. But so let's say if the at bat starts and it becomes like a 2-1 count. Can they then?
Yeah, they said they can. Then they could signal, and then the bat back could be over. Like, got then it. They just walk.
Okay.
Yes, maybe it'll increase the use of intentional walks where you don't have to, like, risk maybe whatever percentage it's, like, of them throwing however softly four times, right? Or maybe because, you know, who knows? It'll either increase the number of intentional walks or increase the number of, like, the half-ass intentional, unintentional walks. But whatever. Nevertheless, I like it. I think it's fine. I think it's cool. They also change. The players can't mark the field for the shifts. You know how outfield players will go out and then scuff the field and stuff? I'll get it. It's my stupid friggin' home phone that nobody but scammers from Nigeria call. I forget I even have this thing. Keep talking.
Yeah, so
I'll edit because my dad's home phone rang that literally nobody but the fake IRS calls and say, you got to pay back this money or you're going to jail. And then I just in the mid-sentence got up to hang up the phone and I kicked it to Tom and he didn't know what I was saying. And so you heard him go, yeah, so, and then he turns to me and goes, let's start over. So that's great. You know, we're still learning at 40 episodes in here. But, you know, it'll result in one of those things, the intentional walk. But I like, in general, trying to make but that's not even the point I was making. Jesus Christ. The point I was mentioning that another rule change is you can't scuff the field for shifts now.
Right.
Like players would be on the road in the outfield and like pivot their foot in or something. I mean, that seems hard to enforce, but.
Yeah. So what are they going to do if you do that?
Chop your cock off.
I mean, like, what can they honestly do? Can they award an extra base?
They could replace the divot. They could go out there and just, I don't know. That's actually a good question. Like, what is the penalty? I don't know. Well, that's also, what's the penalty for any of these? Like, a lot of these are just only going to be as successful as the players and managers buy in.
Right. That was what I was going to say. The real problem with a lot of these rule changes that baseball has been facing is they just have no repercussions. So, for example,
the batter's box.
Yeah, so for example, the batters weren't supposed to step out of the batter's box. That just got ignored.
Yeah, everybody.
Another thing, which I really, you gotta maybe come up with some reason why this just can't happen, but with the coaches challenge, they absolutely have to set a time limit.
They did. It's 30 seconds now.
But that's still, that's a long. Very long time. Like, I say just give them...
You mean for them to decide whether or not to challenge?
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, just give them one extra challenge and then make it, say, 10 seconds.
Well, now the also... So they added 30 seconds they have to decide, which is pretty long. 2 minutes for the actual review, but also any non-home run call, I think it is, or something, the umps can just review it on their own if they think they got it wrong.
Oh, okay.
So maybe on some of the in-between ones that the manager would, like, dilly-dally or not, the umps can just say, like, we'll review it for you, and then maybe that'll save time. But if it results in more reviews, that won't save time.
Right.
But who knows? I mean, at least it's not like football.
At least they're trying.
Yeah. I think, though, more than any of this, the number one biggest obstacle to getting new fans is not the length of the game. It's the balls in play. And that's much harder to legislate in, as the commissioners talked about. Because football games are way too long now. It's insane. They decided to cut a commercial, I believe, this offseason, football like rules committee, because they realized that. But, you know, I watched like an old baseball classic game before I started liking baseball again. And there were so many walks and runners on base and then balls put in play. And just runners on base was exciting. And then they're just, I don't know, there were less strikeouts is what I meant to say, really. But
yeah,
even anything but strikeouts is exciting.
Yeah, I think also I was reading an article that was talking about how to get more balls put in play, and Don Mattingly, I believe, said something like, well, you just need to pay players
right.
based on
stop incentivizing strikeouts.
But I think honestly the bigger issue is like how effective these shifts are, right? Because even when the balls are put in play, so
well, that's still exciting.
No, but here's what my point is with that is I think you see a lot of hitters, and Mark Teixeira was a prime example of this. When the shift got so effective, he almost became afraid of not hitting a home run.
Yes, yes.
So he
and
was
Pujols, like yeah.
He was just totally incentivized to sell out at that point. So I don't know what you can do to fix that.
Well, that's a good point. I think that's a really interesting point. I would say one, maybe that's only a couple players who are both older. Maybe as the new generations come up with shifts, that it won't result in that type of hitting, but you're absolutely right. If you square balls up and you're not being rewarded, that absolutely is going to result in more of an all or nothing approach. And it's very free market economic of Don Mattingly, and he makes a good point. I mean, you could make that point with anything, though. It's kind of a non-point, but
yep.
To say if you want this, then reward this. You know, it's like it sort of goes without saying, but he makes a point.
It doesn't work that way, though. You know, like
yeah. I mean, no, yeah, it's very difficult. But I think that the one actual practical thing that the players probably would agree needs to happen is the strike zone has gotten way too low. Half of the players would agree with, the hitters would be down to change this.
Sure.
But that there's pitches called at the chins that are like called strikes that they can't do anything with, and that really messes things up. So, but if more balls are put in play, that might actually make the game longer. But I think even if you were to make the game longer, if more fielders have to make plays, maybe with the shifts it'll be a push, but either way, that results in a more exciting game, and the kids will come.
Yes, the kids will come.
Jesus, that's a sentence a pedophile will say about himself. He's getting ready to go out for the night, looking in the mirror.
Get over here, kids.
He's like, the kids will come. All right, do you have anything else?
No, that's all I've got to say.
Jesus, way to be apathetic about that.
You're welcome.
All right, so it was the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 40. Yo, tweet us and let us know what you want us to do, what you like, what you don't like. We won't have a guest again, don't worry. That was a one-time thing with Dwayne. But we will have plenty more facts and information for you.
Holla at your boy.